Welcome to the Green Lines Abundant Living Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. This podcast is produced to help guide you to think and live in spiritual abundance. Now, let's join Dr. Steve Green as we seek to be led by the Holy Spirit so we might lead others according to God's purpose.
One of the best ways to reduce my effectiveness is to give me a new tech tool, like a new iPad or an iPhone, or even some new app for my phone. All those things that call my name with a bait, buy me, I'll save you time and you can get more done. Doesn't that sound great? It reminds me of all the new golf clubs and gadgets that guarantee me 10 more yards of distance off every drive. I hear that all the time. But if it was true, and I really wish it was, I'd hit the ball one time and I'd drive every green. Better golf through modern technology is one of those lies from the pits. Technology doesn't make me a better time manager. Only I can do that. That's why they call it management. One of the things I know will help the most is to reduce the clutter around me, in my mind, on my list, and of course, on my desk. That'd be nice. I'm still fearful to throw away anything. I even take phone pictures of docs before I throw them away. My guest today on the show was going to help us. She's written a great book. It's titled Making Room, Doing Less, So God Can Do More. I hope you're as ready to learn as I am, and she thinks it's part of the key to restoration to that closeness with the Lord. So I'm so excited to welcome Billy Jouse to Green Lines. Billy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, we're going to be blessed because I've got a little bit of a good preview with you, and I know our audience is going to just love you. So I know that you're a writer, a speaker, a wife of a professional baseball coach, and mother of three sons. So you got to be kidding me. You don't have any room to be effective and to be close. You're busy.
Let's just say my life has a lot of limbs to it. There
yes.
is a lot going on.
I know. So how do you get it all done and still remain close to the Lord?
You know, that was the thing. I thought I was getting it all done and still staying close to the Lord until I was sitting in church one Sunday. And my pastor asked the question, what is God doing in and through you? And let me tell you, you know how you feel like you've been smacked upside the head in church?
Frequently.
My spirit started squirming. And I was like, what do you mean, what is God doing in and through me? Well, later that night, I made a list. And that list was, I am reading my Bible. I am doing Bible studies. I am reaching out to others. I am serving. It wasn't anything about what God was doing. It was all about what I was doing.
Well, I hear you. And we all run into that trap that we think we're doing something. And one of the
I call it doing all the good God things, but not doing God's best things.
That's good. That's really a good point. That sometimes I feel like when I'm doing something God wants me to do, I can't do it without Him. That's one of my tests. If it looks too hard for me, it's probably God.
Right.
You know?
Right. And yeah, when I went through this, it was a spiritual journey for me that I wrote about in this book. Mm-hmm. And when it started, I knew that God really wanted to strip a lot of the distractions out of me. I call it a spiritual rinsing, but for me, it was more than a rinsing. It was a power washer digging deep in the crevices of all the stuff that I had stuffed in my life that was taking up the room for the Holy Spirit to move in me and then move through me. So I knew that God was going to do a special work, and boy, was it amazing. That process was just such a great process to go through to get to the point of being able to say, whatever you want, Lord, whenever you want it, wherever you have me.
So who were you thinking of when you wrote the book? I normally, when I write, have people in mind or certain need groups. Who were you thinking of when you started to write?
You know, I was thinking of that mom that was at home trying to do all the right things, getting it done, trying to be the good Christian woman and the great mother. But the funniest part of this book is, after the book was written, the group that really came out in force over this book were ministry leaders and pastors' wives. because they're doing all the good Christian things. We're good Christian women. I'm not saying that we're out doing horrific things against God. We are good Christian women trying to do the right thing for the Lord, but we end up doing so many things. The funny story is, my husband, one time when I came to him with another great God opportunity, he was shaking his head, and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? He goes, Billy, you've got the right hand syndrome. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, every time somebody needs something, your right hand shoots up, and you go, I'll do it. I'll do it.
I have that disease.
Yeah, I know. And that's how I got lost in doing just, you know, good things for God, rather than really waiting patiently, listening to the Lord, understanding his will, and actually doing God's best things.
That's so good. Now, Billy, we've got to have a chat here. I've got to tell you something. Before we go any further, I've got to give you some full disclosure of my love for the St. Louis Cardinals. Can you handle that?
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
You know, somebody's got to like those kind of teams.
Well, I know. Someone's got to do it, but they seem to do it pretty well since they've got one of the leading attendance in the country.
It's true. It's a great ballpark.
Yes.
Being with the Pirates, we go to St. Louis quite a bit. And,
sure.
And being in baseball, it's really funny. I call baseball the big recycle bin because we're all thrown in, shuffled around, pulled back out, turned around in circles, and we all cross each other's paths at one point or another. So we have some dear friends with the Cardinals.
Good.
So, but I don't like to lose to them. So
oh, no.
Just saying. You know, but we have a history. My husband, his teams have a history of winning against the Cardinals. I don't know if you remember.
There was a four-game sweep with Boston Red Sox.
We were with that team.
And your husband was a coach for the Red Sox at that time.
He was the advanced scout that year. He was going ahead of the team and writing reports on how to beat the other teams. And when he came home from St. Louis, he said, we can beat them. And I was like, there's no way. The Red Sox haven't won the World Series in 86 years. Are you kidding me? And sure enough. However, I was with some of the wives one of the days we were there, and we were heading out to the mall just to walk around, just to get away from the buzz downtown. And in the cab we were in, one of the wives just said, do you think we can sweep them? Because that night would be game four. The cab driver just hit the brakes, pulled over on the shoulder of the highway, and was like, you will not beat my Cardinals. And we're like, okay, dude, you won't beat them. Just get us to the mall.
I'm surprised he didn't kick you out.
Well, we thought he was going to. Let's just say he did not come back and pick us up to take us back to the hotel.
he had to get a different cab driver. So your husband's now a coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I don't think we said that at the beginning, so I wanted all of our listeners to know that.
Yes.
And so you're telling me this man has a World Series ring on his hand.
He does have a World Series ring that he puts on his hand, mostly because we know how much Red Sox fans love to see it. And I was just speaking for Compassion International. I was speaking at Paul Tripp's marriage conference, and one of the guys at the church was like, I saw that your husband worked for the Red Sox. Does he have a ring? And I was like,
of course.
He does. You know, just knowing that love, as you know, as a St. Louis Cardinals fan or a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, the love that they have for their team is amazing. And so, yeah, he pulls it out every now and then, that ring. It's a pretty heavy thing. So.
Yes, it is. And protect it because it's extremely valuable.
Yes.
Especially in Boston. There's some guys that would give you their house for that ring.
Oh, there are a lot of people. It is so true. They would. I think they'd give their firstborn, too.
Yes,
so.
Probably. Here, take my kids, please. Give me the ring.
Exactly.
So I want you to tell us a little bit about your life in baseball, especially with those pirate guys things, you know, that you like. Tell us a little bit about your life in baseball.
Baseball. Oh, my gosh. I've been in baseball. And the thing of it is, as wives in baseball, we are so closely connected to all the things of baseball that we call it our job, not his job. You know, it's our job because it's a lot. The guys are gone from home 8 months a year, unless you live in the city that you're playing in, which rarely anybody does anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then your husband's really away from your house for 8 months a year. We've been in pro ball for 32 years. My husband's been in the major leagues for 17. I'm so proud of him. He's such a good man. However, we don't look at it as, oh, wow, we're in the big leagues. We look at it as God's given us a ministry in baseball. And I tell people often, even my girls in baseball, I'm like, listen, I wanted to go to Africa where there were poor, starving little children with mm-hmm. no shoes who needed food and health care and Jesus. And God put me in the stands of a Major League Baseball stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And those people don't need food and shoes, but boy, they need Jesus. And
yeah.
So that is our ministry, working within that. And with the Pirates, we have a great organization that, you know, they have prayer every morning as a coaching staff and players and some.
Well, they should pray. They need to pray.
Yeah.
You know, maybe pray for some pitching.
They're praying that the Cardinals are, you know, still not good. So that's all. No, I'm joking.
I know, I am too.
It's a great atmosphere. We love what we do. We love loving on these players and wives and coaches and wives and front office people and, you know, the interns that work at the front office, the people that work at the gates, whoever, mm-hmm. we just are there to love them like Jesus would.
That's so good. So I was going to draw an analogy between the pace, just sitting in the stands watching a baseball game, which was some of my favorite pastimes, both in high school and college. I watched so much baseball
yeah.
and not as many pro games. I wish. I haven't always lived in a pro city. But think about that pace. And let's compare that to your book, the pace of a game,
yeah,
and the excitement here and there, the moments that pass with nothing happening. Try to compare that to what you're calling for here in your book, Making Room.
People often say that baseball is boring, and mm-hmm. I don't see baseball that way. Baseball is quite a strategic game, and I know I've got. Yeah, I jokingly tell that my husband's a nerd coach because he does all, you know, he does a lot with the numbers. He was a numbers guy before numbers were popular, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's always known, you know, percentages and things like that. So watching a game for me is a bit different because I have seen a lot of games, and no, I have no idea how many, but for the past 3 years, I've seen on average about 100 games a year of my husband's, and then I raised three boys that played. In those games, it is a lot of things going on. There are so many different aspects to what's going on with every pitch. And in that, you can get caught up in so much of the minute details that
mm-hmm.
you can lose out on the joy of those exciting times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot like in the book with Making Room, is that we get so bogged down and so distracted from what God's really wanting us to see, the joy and excitement of what he, the immeasurably more that he wants to do in and through
yes.
us. Not just the tasks that we can check off, not just the things we can do, not just the I am, not God's I am, but
mm-hmm.
I am reading my Bible.
Yes.
But are you reading your Bible with the intent of asking God, what do you want to speak to me today? Or are you reading your Bible to say you read it today for the 15 minutes, or you read it today because it's what you're supposed to
check the box
scripture-wise? You know, yeah, exactly. And so that's what I see in a baseball game, is you can get so caught up in an error that happened that maybe changed the pace of the game or changed the direction of the game, or you get caught up with a pitcher that can't throw strikes right now, even though your batters are really hitting well, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the complex part of baseball you can get caught up in. And that's what I feel like we as Christians, and especially Christian women, you know, we're a lot of women are doers. We're the moms, we're the wives, we're the ones out there leading ministry and doing 20 different things within a small window. And so I think we get so bogged down in the busyness that mm-hmm. we forget to make that deeper connection with Jesus.
Well, that's a good point. We've got to keep our dukes up, be attentive, and know that it's coming. You mentioned you had
yeah.
boys in your family. You've raised three sons. I think I know they're in baseball, so tell us a little bit about your boys and how they're doing, and not only in ball, but in their life with Christ.
I raised three boys, and, you know, I always tried to make our life fun, because one of the things that I tell my husband all the time is, you're playing a game for a living. If you can't have fun at your job, quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that, because it is a fun place to be. It's not always lacking stress. It's not always fun, but it is a game, and we should be living it to the fullest. So apparently I taught that a little too much to my boys, because my oldest son, after playing college ball, playing professionally with the Washington Nationals, he went and played 4 years professionally in Europe and Australia, and he just came back home and got a job as an area scout in the Midwest for the San Francisco Giants.
Good.
So he's in professional baseball. Our middle son now got a master's in sports psychology, and he is a mental conditioning coach with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hmm.
And our baby boy is a senior at New York University. He's a pitcher there, coming down to Florida to play next week. I'm so excited to be able to see
Great.
Him play his senior season and dad get in a game. But he is graduating in May, and he has an internship this summer with the Wareham Gateman and the Cape Cod League.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be seeing some Cape Cod baseball this summer. And then in August, he's going to be going to scout school and hopefully become a professional scout. So we have quite the baseball coverage, even though I would have loved for some of them to get in the American League and not be in teams that we're going to face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
you get to see them more.
Yeah, well, this is true.
So let's go back to the ministry aspect of baseball and tell me how your life has been affected and your ministry has been affected by baseball.
Yeah, we, David and I truly believe that God gave us a job in baseball, not just for the job, but to serve and to honor and glorify him in all that we say, all that we do, all that we are within the walls of baseball. And it is such a great ministry. You know, we're there with these kids coming up, with these coaches, with everyone, just trying to shine the light of Jesus and show them, you know, who Jesus is and in this lifestyle. Because it's such a different life than going to a bank and being a bank manager or a bank teller or working. It's a different life. There are different demands. There are different temptations. There are different distractions that pull you in so many directions that we love to be there to help ground them and guide them and lead them. Baseball, there is such a beautiful Christian foundation in baseball. We have Baseball Chapel, which is an organization that feeds the guys every Sunday morning with the word.
Yeah.
Baseball Chapel also comes in and does a Bible study with the wives. That's in every level of professional baseball, from the major league teams all the way down to the Dominican Republic summer leagues with those 16-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's such a great place to serve the Lord and to be able to see the difference that God can make in the lives of the people that we're with.
Well, that's good. And I know that that's why we live. You know, we live and breathe and have our being so that we can minister, so that we can do these things, that our life is going to come down to who we help.
Yep. And our platform's a little different. You know,
mm-hmm.
when we have this platform, people will listen to my husband talk about Jesus because of what his job is.
Sure, as long as he talks about baseball, it'd be fine.
Well, this is true. And, you know, my husband doesn't know how to go through life without talking about baseball. So
that's great.
It's a definite when he's standing up talking to people. It's about baseball and about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it gives us an opportunity to present God to people that we normally wouldn't have the ability to do. You know, and God has given us this place to speak from that presents him in an even grander way.
That's good. So I want to go back to your book a little bit and make sure that you tell us, for our listeners, when they've read this book, what will they have? What will they get from it? And how will it help their life?
The thing that I love to see when people read this book is that their relationship with Jesus deepens. And it's theirs. It's not, oh, Billy Jowell said to do these three things. It really is about connecting with God in a deeper way, being aware of his presence, listening to his still voice, understanding His will for our life, the unrevealed will and the revealed will, because we could see in the Bible the will that God has for us. There's revealed will in His Word, but then there's the unrevealed will that we have to be patient for, and we have to wait for, and we have to listen for. And so in this book, this journey that we go through in this book takes us to a place of really desiring the immeasurably more that God wants to do in us so that God can do more through us. Mm-hmm. Not more things on a checklist, but more of His best things in our lives.
That's good. And I know that because of this book and because of our discussion, there will be people that want to get in touch with you to find your book. First of all, I know that you've got it on your website, billyjowse.com. Good. Go ahead. Yeah.
Let's spell it. Let's spell Billy first. We're going to spell Billy because it's B-I-L-L-I-E.
Right.
That gets complicated at times. And then Jouss, J-A-U-S-S.
BillyJowse.com.
BillyJowse.com.
All right. So the book is there. Is it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon.
Good. So they can find it either place and be able to connect with this good book. And And then your social media, are you connected to social media that folks would want to find?
I am. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, versions of Billy Jowse. Twitter at Billy Jowse. Facebook, Billy Jowse, author, speaker. And Instagram, Billy_Jowse.
Okay. So we definitely want to connect with you and keep up with your travels. And
That's great.
So just before we close this podcast, I want to ask you the question I really like to ask everyone, and that's, what's ahead? What do you see? What do you hear from the Lord as you pray? What's ahead in 2019 for you? And then what's your forecast for the Pirates?
Well, for the future for me, I'm working on my second book, and it is a book that's really challenging me because it's about comparison. Mm. And this is going to be a book that gives a lot of stories of how I struggled with comparison in baseball. And not a tell-all story of baseball, but really my journey of how did I fall to the comparison game, you know, because it is a game that we play, and how you can overcome the comparison in our lives. And it's really big right now with social media and all that we have in front of us immediately. Comparison really is a struggle. So I'm working through that second book. Pray for me because it's a tough one. It's a tough one to write, but I think the Lord is really working a beautiful story in this, and that's going to be really good. And then for the Pirates, we're going to win the World Series because we're going to beat the Cardinals during the season that we don't even have to face them in the playoffs. Mm. And we're just going to go ahead and go through, the playoffs and win the World Series.
Well, are you planning on bringing in a lot of new players? Is that it?
Yeah. I like this group we have.
Good.
I'm going to tell you, 2004, when we won the World Series with the Red Sox, there was something special about that group of men. Mm-hmm. It was just something special. It wasn't that they were the best. There was something special. And we just had a birthday party for Francisco Cervelli the other night. And that group of guys, I'm just like, there's something special about these guys.
Good.
They like each other. They enjoy each
other.
I'm glad
to hear that. It's a long season, 162 games. We've got a lot of baseball to play. And that gives you and I lots of reasons to talk again about your new book and anything that comes up in your life that you want to chat with our audience about.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Well, it's been an honor to interview you and to speak to you about your book, Making Room, Doing Less So God Can Do More. I really like that subtitle. I want to do less so God can do more through me. Our author is Billy Jowse. She's an amazing woman of God, a mother, writer, speaker, author, and a baseball wife. What a great combination. So, Billy, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. God bless you all.
Looking to get a new kind of college visit experience? Liberty University has you covered. Experience what's really happening at Liberty with one of the daily campus tours or special events like College for a Weekend or Experience LU. meet professors and students, enjoy convocation, and get a firsthand look at life at Liberty University. For more information about visiting opportunities, check out liberty.edu/visit us. Again, that's liberty.edu/visit us.
To the Green Lines Podcast. If you would like a copy of Dr. Green's book, Love Leads, visit loveleadsbook.com. To contact Dr. Green, email greenlines@charismamedia.com.